One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.
But even when you are doing these adult-like things, you're still not getting taken serious. Like, yeah, I'm handling the family.
Yeah.
But my curfew's still 10.
Damn.
You know, you feel it would get compared to, like, the neighbor or whatever in the community.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yeah, like, five-star student, 100, yeah. A+.
Do you know what she's doing?
In the behind the
scenes. And this is the only time I'm going to say this. I'm not going to say this in person. If you're listening to the podcast, here you go. What's going on, y'all? For this episode, we are talking about how to be taken more serious, whether it's by your parents, mother, father, whether it's by your friends, your loved ones, people around you, people that you grew up with, or whether it's by your coworkers, your boss, manager, whoever it is. We talk about why they might not be taking you serious. A lot of time as brown people, we struggle with, you know, showcasing our voice and showcasing our intelligence properly to the people around us. So we're getting all into that, kind of a continuation of last week's episode. If you don't go that one first, and without further ado, let's get into it. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to Difficult-ish,
a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am your co-host Mahua Khan,
and I am your co-host Double Cold Brew Mushroom Veneer. See what's going
Double
on.
Double Cold Brew is crazy.
See what's going on. And we're back. And we're back.
We're back.
Back just at it like a addict.
Okay. All right.
This is our second episode in like 3 days.
Yeah.
That's a lot of podcasting.
Yeah. I honestly, like, us coming back with the episode, new season. Yeah. We're going hard.
How you feeling so far? Third episode into new season.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. I feel like we're more re-energized with the creative ideas. But you know what's kicking my butt a little bit?
What is it?
The seasonal depression. And
I don't even know you're gonna talk about that.
Yeah, it just came to me. Because you know, the sun goes down at like, what, 4 o'clock now in New York? No, it's a little bit earlier. The sun officially goes down then, but it gets darker before then, obviously, because the sun is like slowly going down, right?
Really?
So so it's been getting dark quicker. It's colder, obviously. It makes you not want to do as much, right? And you get more sad. So I've been trying to combat it a little bit earlier and better this year.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have this like growing up. This is a new phenomenon for me. So I was like, okay, how can I be better this year? Because the past 2 years that I've been dealing with this, it was like down in the slumps for me, right? So I've been working hard, working a little bit more than I should be.
That helps with combating the depression.
It helps because it keeps you busy.
Okay.
And I've been forcing myself to like take walks sometimes, like go outside. I did the past few days. I don't know why you're doing that.
No, she lied to
No, that's not true. I have my workout classes that I go to and I take the walks. Before you even moved to New York, you had a North Face, right?
Right.
You were so excited to buy this North Face.
Yeah.
And you would be so convinced. You kept like trying to tell me, like, yes, I'm made for the cold. I love the cold. You can't survive
in
Florida.
You know what it is?
No, wait. You can't survive in Florida heat. Like, you would hate living in Florida because it's so hot. I can't wait for New York cold.
Oh, God.
And now you're here? And what?
No, this is what it is. Let me explain. It's my hands. That's it. That's it. Body cool.
You have mittens, though.
But it's such a... it's such a hassle putting them on, and then I gotta grab things. I gotta,
right.
You know, take my life selfies, and
life is hard.
You know,
right.
But you know what I did realize, mm-hmm. another deep revelation. I love the heat. I love hot weather. That's why I'm going to Florida in 2 hours. My flight's in 4 hours. I gotta leave, whatever. My flight to Florida is soon. I'm very excited to go back, even though it's cold there right now too.
What does cold mean? 70?
Honestly, if I'm being honest.
75 degrees?
If I'm being honest, I don't like talking about weather. I hate that we're talking about weather right now because at work, all we talk about is weather. And I feel like weather is just like what you talk about when you have nothing to talk about.
Okay, so why are you... you're the only one talking about it right now.
Hope y'all enjoyed last week's episode. This is kind of like a part two. Kind of, not really, but it's like we're talking about like turning the tables. You know,
yeah.
Last one. She did really, really well in last week's episode. I just finished editing. It's a very, very, very wonderful episode.
Thanks.
If you have not listened to it, please listen to it right now before
it's
you continue
it's
any
further.
It's
about the parentification of kids.
Right.
And this week's episode.
This week's episode.
You thought of this one.
Yeah, I thought of this one.
This one's going to be all you.
No. Please. This one is about how to be taken more seriously.
Yeah.
How do you be taken more seriously?
What inspired this one?
I don't know. I think it's just something that like I've thought, because I think it's something that I've gotten a lot better with recently, and with starting a new job, I got into the job wanting to carry like a different energy than I've carried in my previous job. Because in my previous job, I carried myself as like, you know, the young buck that was
too
like
cool for school.
Yeah, too cool for school, or just like super artsy and like, you know, into like all these other things, and like I'm just here to like do my job, and then but the real work starts like after I leave, da da. And that's like the energy that I carried, and I didn't want to do that with this new job. So that's kind of what inspired this episode. You know, just different types of people wanting to be taken more seriously. So yeah, you know, in this episode we already said it, but we're going to talk about being taken more seriously with parents, more seriously with friends, ones around us, and in the workplace. So a little triple threat for y'all, you know, wherever y'all want to go in.
Yeah.
That's how we're doing
it. I know we got a lot of personal experiences, but like, do we have many pieces of advice for this? Like, solution?
No advice. No advice. This
little
is,
to no advice.
This is a rant. No, I have advice.
Okay.
Not much, but you know, I hopefully just some words that are impactful, things that have helped me over the last couple of years. Because
yeah.
I think there's some that I have been taking more seriously. You know,
like, oh, wow. A little play on word. You know what? I think it's also difficult because sometimes as children of immigrants, our value is placed on how much we do and how much money we make.
Right.
Especially if we didn't grow up with as much, you know,
money.
In our childhood. Yeah, as much money or whatever. Like, our value was placed on the jobs, the professions, and how well we did in school and this and that. So our value is, like, placed on numbers, right?
Right.
Whether that is grades or how much you make. So I feel like sometimes you might not get taken serious if you don't score those high grades, if you don't make as much money when you're older, if you don't contribute in a way that seems valuable or successful in a family member's eyes.
Word.
You know? So I think that's why it's hard to be taken seriously if you don't check off those marks, those boxes. But then also it's hard to have like a higher self-esteem because of those things. You're not confident because you're not getting taken seriously. But I feel like growing up, I've had a lot of people not take me serious. I think it's because I was still figuring myself out.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so there's different layers to this, okay? Are
yep.
you ready for the lore?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I feel like my parents didn't take me serious growing up because I didn't have the best grades in comparison to my brother. And because, you know, I was kind of rebellious and this and that. I didn't have my life figured out. But also, I was like, what, 15?
Yeah.
Like, who has their life figured out? I still don't have it figured out. I'm 26.
Ooh.
But, and then on top of that, I feel like the childhood friends that I grew up with, also didn't take me serious as I got older and older, even when I was trying to like mature and like grow myself as a person, as a business, as an artist, whatever. They didn't take me serious because they still viewed me as my high school self, you know? And the same thing with my parents. Like, they still viewed me as my younger self, even as I got older. So they would, this refers to the last episode where we talked about parentification. You would still be expected to do all these adult-like things when you're in high school or when you get older, when that should be on the parents to do it.
Yeah.
But even when you are doing these adult-like things, you're still not getting taken serious. Like, yeah, I'm doing this, like, emotional handling, and I'm doing all these, like, tax documents and, you know, whatever it is, handling the family.
Yeah.
But my curfew's still 10.
Damn.
You know? You feel? You understand that?
No, like, I like that. I like
that. That was, like, a hard line. Like but and I think it was hard to have a balance. Because regardless of the fact that it felt like I had the whole world on my shoulders, I still wasn't allowed to, like, think for myself. You understand?
I understand.
So, there's layers to it, you know?
Yeah.
How about you?
I think people didn't take me serious. Well, you know, we'll get into the breakdown of the different types of people. But I think, you know, along the same lines as you, I didn't know who I was. I was trying so hard to be something that I wasn't. And I think now looking back at it, I think it was so obvious that I was trying so hard to be someone that I wasn't. But when you're in it, when you're the one that's doing it, you know, you're trying to make yourself believe that, like, oh yeah, like, I am this type of person. Or yeah, oh yeah, I am into this type of stuff. But to other people, they see it as like, you know, it's so obvious that, you know, you're playing a character, or it's so obvious that, you know, you're just trying to be something by something that you're not. And I think a lot of people around me were able to analyze that off of me. I think in the case of like my mom, I made a lot of mistakes, and I just made a lot of dumb choices growing up. And I think when you're growing up, your parents give you leeway to be dumb until maybe like 12, 13, maybe 14, probably till high school. Then when you're in high school, they'd see that time as like, okay, you're not a grown up, but like, you're not stupid anymore. Like, you, like, now's the time when like mistakes should be minimal, and you should just be whatever it is. Like, when you make a mistake when you're 17, 18, like, it hits your parents a little bit harder because they're just not just mad. They're like, yo, why are you messing up now? Because that's the time when like the distance between you and your peers becomes much more evident, because, you know, you have the people in school that are like doing great and the people in the neighborhood that are doing great, and your parents aren't seeing the mistakes that they're making because your parents are not
there.
Their parents.
So many times where like I would get compared to like my best friend or like the neighbor or whatever in the community, and they'd be like, yeah, like, this is a 5-star student, 100 A+.
Do you know what she's doing
in the behind the scenes? You know what I know exactly what they're doing. You but know it's what like I can't rat them out because then I look like the bad person, and then they get in trouble. But it's so crazy because like parents see the good things, obviously, because that's what the family is showing.
Yeah.
But little do they know.
Yeah. And even if you tell them, they're not gonna believe you. No.
Yeah.
He wouldn't
do that.
You know. I'm your son.
I know
I'm your son.
Yeah. They think that you're lying to like make yourself look better.
Yeah. So it was a lot of that, you know. But you know, I've put in a lot of work for it. And, you know, we'll get into, I mean, might as well start getting into it or into the podcast. But I think some of the things briefly that I started doing that really helped expedite that process was one was, you know, we could start with our parents. What made my mom take me more serious was, one thing was definitely sharing my intelligence with her. Because one thing that a lot of brown kids do, late teens, early 20s, when there is some, you know, just some separation starting to build between you and your parents, you know, you're getting to more disagreements, more arguments, you stop sharing things with them. You stop sharing the things that you like or the things that you're learning or just anything.
Why do you think you stop sharing that?
Because there's an apparent distance that is created like through into college, you know, like the amount of time you're with your parents when you're 13 is different than when you're 20. You know, it's just because you are, you know, you're early teen. Like, you're hanging out with your friends more. You're going out, like.
But I also think that there's, like, this animosity sometimes and the distance. There's a distance sometimes for a good reason. Like, maybe they cause, like, some sort of trauma or, like,
That too. But I also think it's natural. Like, it naturally occurs. Yeah, there's the circumstances where it doesn't, whatever.
Yeah.
Naturally, it occurs. And I think in that process, at least for me, like, I was just talking to my mom less when I was 20.
Yeah.
Just because, like, now I'm going through, like, that cycle of, like, not, like, just, like early 20s. And, like, I'm learning things on my own. It's, like, I don't know how to, you know, translate them for my mother. I don't know how to have her understand when I'm just trying to build an understanding for myself. But I think one thing that really started helping until when I was, like, 23, 24 was just, like, sharing, like, my intelligence. Like, hey, mom, like, I know about this. Whether it's, like, one thing that I definitely started doing was, like, just learning more about Bangladesh. Learning more about Islam. That's one thing I started doing a lot more. And, you know, my mom used to always tell me, like, go read this surah, or, oh, go read da-da-da. But I would come back with her and be like, yo, mom, I've learned, like, this type of stuff about Islam, about, you know. I remember one conversation that I had with my mom was, like, I learned how Islam spread into Bangladesh. Through, like, early trade paths and, like, riverways and all this stuff. And I educated my mom. I don't want to say educated. Like, I talked to my mom about this. And I can tell, like, from that point on, like, that grew, like, a big kind of, like,
understanding.
Yeah, like, that was a big step to take, you know? Yeah. So I think that's one thing that I started doing a lot more.
Do you think that, like, bridged the gap between you guys because you had this common knowledge that you could talk about?
I think it's something intellectual we can speak about that isn't just weather or my grades, you know, just something bigger, whether you want to talk about politics with her, you know, not argue, but like just like intellectual discussion about anything, you know, because that shows your parents that I'm smart. Mm-hmm. I might not know everything in the world, but there's some things that I'm studying in my free time, because a lot of time in the early 20s we have a lot of like alone time, a lot of like solo time, as in like, you know, our parents see us like there's a study time and then there's a time when it's like you're doing whatever you want. You want to show your parents that like in that time that's like your you time, like you're also like learning things. And I just think that like helps expedite the process of like your parents taking you more serious, because they're like, okay, like he's growing up. He's smart. He's da da da. Whatever. So that was one thing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. You got one? We could do one with parents.
I think something that helps is it's kind of unfortunate though.
Okay.
Go ahead. So my parents specifically, sometimes they don't take my work serious, right? Just because I'm self-employed, I have my own business. But I'm, at the end of the day, not using my master's degree and being a teacher, right? And also working on the internet, since I work in social media, it's still a very taboo thing, not even just with parents, but with people in general. So because they don't see, like, the tangible, I guess, wins from that, they don't understand exactly what I do, and they don't take it as serious as me being a teacher and helping kids, like, physically, and you can see that, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel like since my words don't hold as much value sometimes, because they are just so used to it, and I just say the same things over and over, and it goes through one ear, right, and comes out the other.
Yeah.
It helps sometimes when you're the one telling them, or it's like a friend or like my brother telling them how much I do, or not even how much I do, but like what it is that I do.
Okay.
And I think having someone else that is trustworthy to them to be like that funnel of information, that funnel of logic, helps your parents or like whoever that you're trying to get this information out to,
you know. You're right.
Understand.
You're right. Sometimes you just need like a little newcomer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're playing a video game, like you need like a little like newcomer.
And I think that's like real with anything, right? Like, for example, if my best friend is telling me something over and over, it's going to have some weight on me, but I'm going to hear the same thing over and over. She's biased, right? It's helpful to have like an unbiased, trustworthy
newcomer.
Newcomer, that's the word of the day. Second person to be telling me something that might hit a little bit harder and finally like get through to me, you know?
Damn, I didn't see that one coming.
You didn't think of that one?
I didn't think of that one.
Why not? That's a good, because it's just not where my head was at.
But that's very true.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Don't you think that sometimes like you're the one telling my mom like what I do?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And she understands a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. That's the hope. You know, it's like I enjoy talking to her and being like, oh yeah, she's killing it. Like she's busy. She's doing her thing. And I think, you know, it maybe in the moment it might not seem like it's getting into your mom, but like, you know, I have faith that like it is, you know. So
yeah,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Thanks, buddy.
So what is like, how would you say that in like advice form?
Why do I have to
word?
Why do I have to condense it into advice
word,
form?
Word.
Maybe like find a trusty newcomer friend that can get through to the person that you're trying to.
You know something that I really like?
Yeah.
I like when your friends are cool with your parents.
Mm.
I think that is so valuable.
Yeah.
In a brown family.
I got some of those.
Yeah. And like the friend doesn't have to be brown. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have, they could be anybody. But I think, you know, that is very, very powerful in a brown house.
And then there's the flip side where the parents are very cool with the kid's friends. So then they give
true
life advice and complaints.
Very
and
true.
This and that,
yes.
Know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like very
they're
true.
They're one of the family members now.
Yeah. That's a real slept on like little recipe. Little ingredient. Feel me?
So if you guys don't know, get some lifelong friends that you can introduce to your
family.
Yeah,
make some friends. Loser.
Make some friends.
Loser. Next, we're going to be talking about friends not taking it serious. What a transition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friends not taking it serious.
You feel like you had friends that didn't
goodness
take it
gracious. Very much so.
Are you still going through this right now or no?
No.
Okay. Your friends take you serious now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The friends that I've made in my early 20s see where I am now.
Mm.
The friends that I had in high school, they're not going to see the vision.
What was the switch?
I mean, we said in the beginning, you know, and I don't think it's much more complex than that is... We just start to just understand ourselves more into our early 20s. And in my early 20s is when I stopped, like, trying to chase the idea of being somebody that I wasn't. Like, I really started to, like, celebrate my individuality and, like, really start to do the things that I wish I had the courage to do when I was in high school. Like, in high school, like, I wanted to, you know, dress well. And I wanted to be more into poetry. And I wanted to, you know, be more... like have better communication skills and like be able to have like small talk that wasn't always like cringy or like attention worthy, just be intellectual, like I said earlier. But when I got a little bit older, I started to live in that body, you know. I didn't try living in something else, you know. I was living in like the person that I actually want to become. That's who I started seeing myself as and treating myself as, and that has really helped, you know. I think of the like a lot of the people that I met when I was 20, 21 that like I'm still cool with. I hope, or I guess I know that like they hold me to like a high regard, you know. They see me as like who I would want them to see me as, not as just some bum loser.
Oh wow.
Loser bum, you know.
No, so you don't get it.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Entertained. No, it's so crazy how, like, in your 20s, in comparison to your teens, you're so much more confident in yourself. Hopefully you're less awkward, or, you know a little bit better of the right thing to say. You're just more sure of yourself. But then, so I've heard, in your 30s, it just amplifies more.
No.
Yeah.
Who have you heard this from?
I've heard it from everyone in their 30s.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I just hear that, like, you get more confident and, like, you just enter your boss era.
You know, that's true. Because, you know, my sister, shout out, sisters turning 30 in 2 weeks or something.
Hey, yo.
And this is the only time I'm going to say this. She gets cooler as she gets older. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say this in person. If you're listening to the podcast, here you go.
She's going to clip this up.
She gets cooler as she gets older.
Yeah.
Which isn't what you think it would be like.
Yeah.
But it is. Maybe not in all circumstances, but in this case, it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good point.
So, these friends that you made in your 20s, you're still friends with them. They see you more as who you are.
Yeah. And I think one... Oh, sorry.
No. Continue.
I think one other thing that is important to having your friends see you as more of a grown-up is having the ability to, like, open up and take accountability with them as well. I don't think this is super relevant with parents. I think the parent dynamic is a little different, but I think with friends, it is really important to know the proper way to open up about, like, whether it is yourself or, you know, sensitive topics that, or, like, any insecurities that you have. Obviously, don't dump on them, you know? Mm-hmm. That's not always the smartest idea. But knowing the proper way to, like, share more inclusive details about yourself, you know, and share more, like, yeah, just knowing how to open up with them and creating an environment for them to know that they're able to open up with you as well. I think that, what's the word? Like, that level of like, sensitivity is really important for, like, building a relationship, because they're not going to just see you as, like, someone to go have drinks with, you know? They'll be able to see you as, like, someone that they can come to with, like, an issue.
Vulnerability.
And, you know, you don't have to be the smartest person. You don't have to have, like, a word of advice for every single thing that they say. But having at least input for, like, if I come to you and I'm like, yo, like, I'm going through this, I don't know what to do. You might not have an answer for me, but having some input at least is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you're very good at. I'm not very good at, if I'm being honest. Because a lot of time, I think, like, if I don't have an answer, if I don't have, like, solid advice for you, I have nothing to provide.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
That's true.
You know, so
I think I'm good at that?
You're very good at that.
Thanks.
Having input and taking accountability. You know, like, if you are not texting them back, my fault, bro. Like, da-da-da. Don't just treat things as if they didn't happen. Like, be accountable if you mess up. If they say something. If you say, oh, I'm voting for Trump. Or they're just whatever. I'm not.
What an example.
I didn't. But it's like, whatever it is, like, the ability to, like, take accountability, hear them out, I think creates, like, more, like, fruitful relationships where they see you more than just. Because in high school, I was a lot of, like, I'm just here for a good time. I'm just here to fool around. Like, I'm just here to be a quote unquote party animal, as in, like, be the energy or be, like, the source of attention in the in the front. Why are you laughing?
No, I'm just imagining you in your pink Abercrombie shirt with your.
But I did that for the attention, animal. Like, all about the attention, all about, like, you know, look at me, da da da.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's not what creates fruitful relationships. You know, that makes you. That makes you know a lot of faces and know a lot of names, but you don't know nobody, because that's what a lot of my high school was. I knew a lot of faces, knew a lot of names. I didn't know nobody like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, we have, I think, multiple episodes right now on just making friends, female friendships, and just finding your crowd. But I think something else on top of that, like, vulnerability and, like, being that emotional support as well as having those type of friends is a very big thing on like how you can have a serious relationship, like friends or platonic or, you know, like an actual romantic. But also on top of that, you need to have a space around you that isn't competitive or jealous, right? And I think growing up, I always felt like I wasn't being taken serious because the people that I was surrounded by felt like they were kind of like competing with me, and like sometimes they would bring me down or whatever it is because they wanted to have like a one-up, you know? And I think that is very common in high school friendships, especially because you're at that age where it's like you're taught to kind of be the best, you know? And you think that there's only one space at the top. So I think what you were saying, in your 20s, you kind of hopefully have the self-discovery where you're like, okay, there's more room at the table, but also these people around me that are kind of bringing me down and not really uplifting me in the best way, they don't necessarily need to be in my life, and I can mm-hmm. find people that can support me and then also take me serious and more.
Right.
You know?
Plus more.
Yeah. So I think there are so many different like layers to it. Yeah. Like be that person that is like a good support system for your friends, but also surround yourself with people that don't unintentionally or even intentionally compete with you or are jealous of you. Do you have like other places in your life where you feel like you haven't been taken as serious?
Yeah, I got one.
Oh.
I got one. Y'all heard of work? Workplace.
Hey, yo.
A little workplace action. Yeah. Yeah. That's some place I've had some trouble. You know why?
Tell me.
Because every single job I've ever had, I've always been the youngest.
Really? That's a good thing?
I don't know.
I mean, for you to get hired.
Literally every single one. If not the youngest, like the second youngest, very, very closely. Mm. Where the youngest person was actually like more mature than I was. And I think that has always messed with me like mentally, because I go into a job thinking that they're already going to be treating me some type of way. Ever since like the first job that I had into like all the coffee shops I worked at, I was always the youngest and I was always like the baby. Mm. And everyone always saw me, especially when you are actually a baby. Now, like, things aren't as... I'm 26 now. Like, 26 is grown, I think. I don't know.
Barely.
But when you're 19 getting to a job working with 26-year-olds, obviously, when I see you as a kid, that's... I can't blame them for that. It was just such an obvious thing in, like, in my face. And everyone always made it obvious. And I didn't know how to react when people said, like, oh, like, you're so young. How do you react to that? Yeah. Oh, you're so young. Yeah, okay. Like, if you're nonchalant about it, they think you're too cool for school.
Yeah.
One thing also that when I got into the corporate life was a little thing called model minority.
Ooh.
A little thing called model minority where us, you know, as Asian people, we find ourselves being a little less, you know, expressive about things that are bugging us at the workplace.
Mm.
You know, we know Karen and Ashley are very, very, actually, you know, things that are on their mind.
Something that I remember that like you actually went through was when like all of those functions were happening around like Eid time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you told your boss like, oh, you know, I'm gonna be fasting for Ramadan, I'll still be here like working, but I'll probably be a little bit low energy, and you know, we don't drink and things like that, especially around this time. And then you felt like that,
I feel like they started drinking more in
they
Eve.
Started drinking even more, they started having the food parties even more.
I remember like we were doing like a toast at like 11 a.m one day during Ramadan in like one of the office rooms. And everyone was just like, drinking champagne. My manager, my direct manager, come through. I'm like, hey, man, I'm good. Like, I don't think I didn't want to have to explain why. He knows this. Yeah. We talk about every day, like, I'm fasting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, just come through. Just come hang out with us. Hey, bro, I'm good, bro. I'm fasting. Like, I don't really want to be around alcohol. Yeah. And he's like, no, you don't have to drink anything. Just come in. Hello. How many times I got to say this?
I feel like, yeah, that's a prime example of just you not being taken seriously.
Yeah.
And then also on top of that, like, your religion and then, you know, so many layers to it. But, yeah, I feel like there have been times where, like, even if you have said something explicitly, you don't get it taken seriously. But then also there are times where you feel like you don't want to say something
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to be like the disruptor,
the nuisance, yeah,
the nuisance in the workplace.
Like, oh, he's OD, or
yeah,
you know, he's
rowdy.
Or like
complain against someone, it feels like it's a direct threat to them, you know.
Yeah, but what about you? You know, I know that you know you're not in the corporate life. You know, you're doing your own thing.
Yeah, sorry.
How do you feel like who are the people that may struggle to take you as serious as you want?
I feel like sometimes when I'm talking to people, especially for like brands or companies and social media world, it's kind of hard sometimes because I'm the only POC, and it's not even just talking to someone in like the corporate world or talking to a brand or a company trying to, you know, have like a good relationship with that. I think it's even just me going to a solid core class. It's even me just going to, you know, a brand event, an influencer event. I feel like it's very hard to see people that look like me. And if I do, it's like such a nice welcoming thing. And I feel so happy and secure. Like, especially even when I went to Europe recently, I went to 5 cities.
Mm-hmm.
The first few cities that I went to, there was like no person of color, right?
Right.
I was very much the minority. But then as I went to like Prague and as I went to Vienna in Austria, there were more like hijabis and people of color. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand the seriousness of this matter and how this is so important to someone that is a person of color. Like, I feel like there are a lot of non-POC who see people that look like us and they get like this feeling of like, not fight or flight, but like a different feeling because they don't see like a white person, right? But for me, when I see another brown person or another person of color that's wearing like a hijab or religious wear, whatever it is, I feel like a sense of comfort.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I'm saying is that sometimes I feel like I don't get taken as serious because of the lack of representation in some spaces, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm talking to I'm in a Google Meet, and it's just 5 other blonde white girls, and I'm talking to them about, you know, a project that I'm working on or like something related to their company or their brand, I feel like, and by the way, this is not me generalizing everyone, because there have been amazing people that don't make you feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the norm is feeling kind of like undervalued and just not as important. Like, you don't get, it's like more of an internal thing that you grew up with, and now you feel it even more in spaces like this. But you just feel like your ideas aren't as valuable. You feel like you as a person aren't as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and I think there's like, on the other end, it's like I've witnessed like a lot of like over delivering and like over expressing too. Mm-hmm. Like when you're like telling ideas to like a bunch of people that don't look like, oh my god, yeah, such a great like da da, like
you
they'll
have to, like,
they'll like act some sort of way. It's just like so obvious to like, this isn't a genuine reaction. Like, you're just like acting some sort of way because like I said something different, you know,
yeah,
or I said something about something that you haven't heard about before, yeah, whatever. So it's like on both ends. Like I've had that in like a lot of situations, like at work.
There's so many, yeah, it's so many layers to it. Like, it's the model minority, it's the imposter syndrome, it's the feeling of you don't like, you shouldn't be making as much, or you don't belong there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how we feeling nowadays? How we feeling nowadays? You feel like you got, you know, a good head, and you feel like you're carrying yourself the right way?
Yeah, I'm feeling better in my like work space, my personal life, friends and family and things like that. Definitely a lot better than how I did in high school.
Mm.
I think I've grown that confidence in myself, and I've worked really hard the past few years to like prove to myself that I can do this despite how people look at me or how not serious someone might think that I am. And I'm proud of myself. And I think that's what matters.
I'm proud of you too. What's one change you'll implement about yourself into 2025 to have, you know, like people maybe just like take your work more serious or take you as a person more serious, like one personal change that like you want to make like for the better?
I think I want to be better at like up selling myself.
Mm.
I'm a very, I wouldn't say humble, but I'm a very, like,
you know, modest.
Modest. And if someone asks me what I do, I'll just be like, oh, I'm a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really elaborate,
mm-hmm.
because I just expect them to know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I say business owner, I'll just be like, oh, they probably know that I, not
the owner of Labyrinth.
Not me saying it in a way like, oh, they know who I am. I mean like, oh, business owner just means like, oh, I sell clothing and I work in social media and we have a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
But I forget that business owner can encompass millions of different things, right?
Mm.
So I think me growing up in more of like a modest type of like personality upbringing, and also me just assuming that one word just means one word. Like if you say, oh, I work in marketing, like, oh, I'm a customer success manager, that's what you are, and people know what that is for the most part, right? I'm also like, oh, I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
That also means people know what I am, but they don't.
Right.
So I think I just want to be better at like just talking, just being a human being that knows how to expand on things.
It's always more with you know, explaining ourselves and you know, knowing how to say like a lot with like a little.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to talk.
You're good
hour.
At that.
I try to be. I mean, I gotta be. My job.
Yeah. What I do. But you do talk a lot sometimes.
Thank God I got a pod.
Yeah, you do. What do you want to do in 2025?
None. I want to, I guess I just want to, simply said, I guess just have more discipline.
Mm.
Just stick to my word more, mm-hmm. you know, just like with myself, you know, I guess like with other people is like secondary, but like with myself first, you know, like if I got a diet, if I got a gym plan, just stick more to it. Because I feel like I'm properly developed mentally. It's just
what the hell?
Like I don't feel like I'm dumb for my age, you know? Apart from like there's always more to learn, whatever.
Right.
But I just feel like what I struggle with is like focus and discipline. Mm. You know? So it's just like I don't need someone to tell me to do the right thing. I just need to like continue doing the right thing.
Like you have to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I don't need someone educating me.
Agreed.
You know? I'm not dumb.
Agreed.
I'm not dumb. I'm not
no, okay.
Dodo.
I understand.
Yeah.
All right. So,
how you feel?
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Good episode.
What y'all think?
So, as you guys know, on our Instagram, we post the episode of the week for the most part, and we ask you guys a question or for advice, and you send in your responses. So, if you guys don't follow us there, it's at Difficultish. So, this week we asked you guys, what did we ask again?
I wrote it a long one. Sorry. I just said, you know, whether by your parents, friends, coworkers, people often treat us like a kid. So what are some tips you have for showing your growth and garnering some more respect from the people around you, from more people around you? Feel me? So we got a lot, honestly. A good amount of them we're talking about, you know, learning to take accountability, self-reflection, you know, understanding yourself more so you can carry, you know, a version of yourself, the best version of yourself forward to people. So someone said reflection, adulthood equals taking accountability, not passing blame.
That's a big blame. Very important.
I'm like this because da da da.
Yeah,
I did that.
We had a whole episode on this.
Did we?
Yeah, remember we had a whole episode on taking accountability.
It was a while ago.
Really? I feel like it was not.
Holy moly.
But yeah, that is important.
But yeah, no passing blame.
Mm-hmm.
You struggle with this?
No, I'm perfect at this.
Got it. Someone said, making my own money, traveling solo, planning things for my family/friends. You know, so being the initiator, you know, being like the trustworthy person of contact.
Yeah.
That helps a lot too.
And also, yeah, when you focus on yourself and you try to tune out everyone else's beliefs about you, I think people just see that confidence and like that self-assurance,
yeah,
and it exudes out of you and they have no choice but to like believe in you too.
Yeah. And lastly, someone said pretty much what I said, but you know, your actions speak louder than your words. If you say something you're gonna do it.
Yeah,
that's a good one,
buddy.
Action do speak louder than words.
Yeah,
nothing's more important than like the actual actions, you know.
That's why I don't say anything that I'm doing or want to do until it's actually in the works,
right?
You understand that?
I understand fully and completely. Yeah. Thank you so much. for Thank joining you. Me for joining me on this episode of Difficult.
Well, I'm always joining you because I'm your co-host.
I hope y'all
any 10 second
hope
piece
y'all
of
enjoyed
advice?
This one. My 10 second piece of advice is just like when you go to a coffee shop and they got like the little like buy nine get one free, like pick it up. A lot we leave the shop without those so often. That's really like,
don't you leave those cards at home?
That's really like, if you think about it, it's like 10% off every drink type shit. Feel me? Why would you not? Exactly. Go ahead. Yeah.
Mine is for Black Friday. I mean, it passed already, but for next year, consider going to your local like secondhand marketplace.
Oh.
That has furniture and home goods and this and that. Because sometimes you can get a really good price on those things.
Damn, thank you. Right after Black Friday.
Really
great
good,
timing.
I found a really good
return in 11
clothing
months.
Hanger.
You did.
Yeah, with birds on it.
And birds, feathers.
Good. All right, you got a little word of the week.
My word for the week, my bangly word for the week
why
is...
Why am I asking you? You should ask me.
What's yours? Go ahead.
Give me a word in English and I'll say it. Problem is shamosha. Kono shamosha nai.
Kono shamosha.
There's no problem.
You
at
have
all.
No problems in life.
No, that's not what it means.
Okay.
But shamosha means problem.
Shamosha.
Shamosha.
Shamosha. I have a big shamosha. I'm gonna miss my
You're
flight.
You're gonna miss your flight.
I'm gonna miss my flight.
So if you guys listened this far, please make sure to like and subscribe and rate the podcast because it helps a lot. And if you have listened this far, then comment the little bird emoji. But we love you guys so much, and we'll see you next week. Ala hafiz.
'Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.